Peter Fees. And I was her first customer, you know, way back then. And so it was quite sad, you know, for me to hear that on Saturday, only for me to hear yesterday that Kehinde, who is, even if I had a blood brother, I don't think I'd be as close as Kehinde. We live together as a family with this lady who is wife, his fiancée then, you know, way back then. I've watched him for many years, you know, develop and grow. So it's like he's like a brother to me, like a real bro to me. May her soul rest in perfect peace. I'm frustrated now, let me be honest with you. I'm pained. I'm wondering what life is all about when you keep losing, you know, losing loved ones. You keep losing loved ones and losing loved ones. I'm asking myself, so what is this life all about? Everybody running around the rat race here and there, only for your life to be snapped away just like that. Don't forget that the pre-week, 2 weeks before then, was the issue of my son who also died in this nonsensical tragedy that could jolly well have been avoided. That's, in his own case, it makes me more angry than sorrowful. And let me use this opportunity to plead with the Lagos State Government, to plead with them, to please do something and release these bodies so that the families can have closure on this matter, especially those who are easily identifiable. Release the bodies to these people and let them have closure. The issue, this gentleman that I know is probably about 30. He has a father. Okay, he has people like me who are like fathers to him. He has a family. We want closure. We want closure on this thing. How can it take more than 2 weeks for us to identify bodies and you give us our bodies back so we can go and bury them? You know, these things raise people's tempers. I understand that, oh, by process, we're told that by process, sometimes it takes longer. Why do we do things in such a, sometimes an insensitive manner? The bodies that are identifiable, because whether they died in the rubble or they died somewhere, do the needful, do the autopsy that can be done within 24 hours and release these bodies. Those that are not identifiable, I understand you can now do DNA in Lagos. I understand it's done. I think what used to be the central library in Lagos is now a DNA center. God forgive those who converted, because that central library was the only library for the whole of Lagos Island. That was a library where I read for my school certificate, you know, way back then. But that's a story for another day. So we are going to plead very strongly with the government to please make arrangements to release these bodies to the bereaved. It's an agony. It's an agony. And one thing I know about these people is, had it been one of them, they would have sped it up. I don't know why we sometimes get insensitive about these things. I need to take a short break and then I'll come back. Sorry, I was virtually losing my temper again this morning. My guest just walked in. I'm going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Hey.
You welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, brought to you by Amstel Malta. And I have my guest here who would rather remain anonymous, but I told him that it's no longer allowed here. Segun Agbede is here. Segun, good morning.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure having you here. I'd like you to lend your voice to what I just said. You know, I have a son who was involved in this Ikoyi tragedy that could have been avoided. I'm pleading with the state government to release the bodies to us. You know, we need closure, especially the bodies that are identifiable. If it means pushing them to walk around the clock, His Excellency should do that. But it's bad enough that you know that your son was involved in something like this, but even worse, that you haven't even seen the body to go and bury.
Well, there's a Yoruba saying which says, any konlomo.
Yes.
You know, whoever is involved. And for me, it's like, I thank God I didn't know anybody directly.
Anybody there.
Well. But I remember when we spoke and he told me that someone that's as close as your son, your good friend's son.
Yes.
So that means vicariously I know somebody.
Yes.
You know, there's this Spanish thing that do not ask for whom the bell tolls for thee. It's humanity. You know, that was a totally unnecessary loss of life.
Mm.
And we are just extending the family's pain
exactly
by continuing to delay and denying them access.
I tried to rationalize what could it be. If it had been in an accident or whatever, the body would have been released. Mm-hmm. So what do you want to do with these bodies that, you know, almost 2 to 3 weeks down the line, the families can, especially, I repeat, those who are recognizable. There are some that are probably not recognizable. You do, and even the DNA testing should be done so quickly. I don't know what is causing the delay. I don't know what it's all about.
One just hopes that there's not an element of malfeasance there, but it's really, really sad.
What do you mean by my what context are you thinking?
When things like this, I ask myself, why? Why are due practices not being followed? Why is the norm? Because, I mean, I'm sure some of the people that passed are Muslims. According to Muslim practice and and belief, a deceased should be buried within 24 hours.
No, well, maybe no. What the practice actually does say is that within reasonable time. It doesn't stipulate 24 hours.
Well, no, but it's 24.
Well, within reasonable times and with very little fanfare.
Exactly. 24 to 48 hours, basically.
It doesn't say 24 to 48 hours. It's within reasonable time.
Well, I spoke to somebody that's a practicing Muslim. I know you come from a Muslim.
Who is the person?
He's an Afar.
What's his name?
Afar Jeleke. What does
it mean? Ole Daziro.
What does it mean? Afar Jeleke. What does it mean?
Ideleke. Jelilili.
Afar Oshodi. It doesn't matter. Afar Bagada is an Afar.
Oh, dear me. Not to you. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about this, your gentleman, Raw. You know, which is, I don't know anything about football. And you're always my encyclopedia. You're the one who always coaches me, tells me about this and that. I like to sympathize with you on the exit. I know you're a Man U fan. On the exit of your... Well, would you like to sympathize or be happy?
You felicitate.
Do you think the man should have been fired? That's the Man U boss, the Man U coach.
You know, between you and I, well, there's remarkable parallels between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, between the reign of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Gennaro Rowe. Two of them are hugely personable people. I like to tell people, the anecdotes that I was literally the first Nigerian, not talk of, first broadcaster journalist
yes.
to interface with Gennaro. We actually had dinner together on the day he arrived in Nigeria for the first time.
Well, that's the second day you introduced me to him. And I mistook him for a basketballer.
Yeah, well. When he came to the studio.
What did I think he was?
I think he said thought he was a basketball coach.
I think I thought he was...
You didn't recognize
him. I didn't even know him from Adam.
It was just another
Oyinbo
man, if that's a politically correct term. You know, so very nice man, you know, very personable, very warm, very wise. You know, and apparently that's what they say about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is as nice as everybody. But basically, it's all about the lack of structure in both organizations, the lack of structure. After 3 years of Manchester United's team on the pitch, and the fact that he hasn't won anything, and the fact too that Kenneth Rowe, after almost 5 or 6 years in Nigeria, has won nothing, and the quality of our football has not improved.
He's almost gone kaput.
It's kaput for me right now. And I believe, I don't know that he's going to be sacked or not. I'm not privy to that information, you know. There are rumors swirling around, there are stories going on behind the scenes. That the NFF wants him out. I don't have a confirmation on this, but sources tell me that they really want him gone. But unfortunately, they've signed a high-bound contract. Now, the question is, that's why I said the amazing parallels. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, in spite of losing the Europa Cup final to Villarreal, the team that was seventh in the league, that's tantamount to, the whole population of Villarreal will probably fit into Salford, which is an area of Manchester. You know, they've never won any major European trophy in their club history. They beat the mighty Manchester United in the Europa Cup final. Something that United were kicked out of the Champions League and dropped it to Europa. Ole couldn't even do that. But you know what the board does? In August, they give him another 3-year contract. So they rewarded mediocrity. Now, with everything... When I first started calling for Gennaro Rowe's sack, in spite of the fact that I know him personally, I have his phone numbers, I speak to him. You met him when I came to interview him in my other studio. He was there. We have a good relationship. But then, because I have a good relationship, for me, I'm very unsentimental when it comes to public performance.
No friend, no foe.
No, I'm an observer, I'm an analyst, I'm a pundit. So what I'm paid to do, my duty, my obligation is to my listeners and my employers to be as unsentimental
and objective.
Objective, which is what you do on issues. I listen to you practically every day. And I know that some people think, oh, you're biased about this, you're biased. If one is going to bias, you are biased on the side of good governance. You're biased on behalf of due process, which is what you're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And whatever the release this, that's what we're talking about, issues of the bodies. Families are grieving that. What right do you have to not release the bodies to them? But I digress. Social 2 is now given a 3-year contract after not winning the Europa Cup final. And then what does United do? We're in November now. After giving a new 3-year contract in August, you are now sacking in November. United bent over backwards not to sack Solskjaer. But that's another story. He's been sacked. His coaching crew is still in place. Again, Ross case, I think Nigerian football has been vegetating under his rule. I believe, and I call for his sacking at the end of the World Cup. I had the fortune of being in St. Petersburg. I'm happy I was in a beautiful stadium where all we needed was a draw against Argentina. 1-1, and Gennett Rowe stood by the side of the pitch and refused to make any substitutions. And everybody around was screaming, "Do something!" I think the Argentines were leading 1-1. We came back 1-1. Game over. Shut down the game. Do anything you can to just wind, let the clock run down. He did nothing. The Argentine coach used his 3 substitutions. Now got the go-ahead goal, which now kicked us out. That's when Gennett Rowe reacted. I think in the 85th minute. By then, it was too late.
There's so many issues here, but what exactly is wrong with Nigerian football? Is it the process by which the coaches are picked, or the process by do we have competent managers? Is the NFA chairman competent in the role he's playing? Because we have to, like you said, we have to be barefaced about all this. I don't believe in sentiment, just like you rightly said, and I don't think it's an abuse or an insult. If somebody is not competent, it's not competent. You're not bound to do these things. If I'm not competent on what I'm doing, I'll be thrown out of here faster than I came in. So where lies the problem with Nigerian football as we speak?
To be honest, I think...
Is it the coach or the manner in which we choose the coach?
I think it's a top-to-bottom thing. You see, the challenge is we've had Nigerian coaches in place who, at the end of the day, I mean, the last Nigerian coach you had in place, it was Sunday Oliseh, it didn't work. He was an excellent footballer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a technocrat. He's very well-read, very well-spoken. But when he was given the opportunity to coach the Super Eagles, he had a kind of incendiary effect. You know, he didn't manage the players well.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday is a very volatile character himself, so unfortunately, it ended in tears, but he's a great guy. Love him to bits. The late, great Stephen Keshi, too, did very well to win us the Cup of Nations in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure of being there, and it was a wonderful ride. And he did, but unfortunately, that's Nigerian football for you. On the night that should have been the greatest night in Nigeria's football history since 1994, when we won it before then, 1994, so that's 19 years. That night, because of inner wranglings with the previous NFF board, egos, and what have you, Stephen Keshi resigned.
Mm.
So now it became a political football. I think President Jonathan Goodluck got involved. They had to beg him. They had to try to do this. So by the time he came back, the Nigerian Football Federation, which in my opinion did very well then, it was led by Alhaji Megeri. Yeah, he was the president of the NFL. Did a wonderful job in creating the enabling environment for Stephen Keshi and Super Eagles then to win the 2013 NFL. They came back and they were treated like pariahs. The Super Eagles and all their coaching crew, with all due, I mean, fairness to them, got all the rewards from a grateful nation, sponsors threw money at them, left hand over fist. And this was a team that when they left, they were like orphans. In fact, there's only one blue chip company that stood by them and organized a dinner for them in their honor before they left. And I will call their name. I know it's like I'm going to... Guinness, because I will always appreciate what Guinness did then. They even had a flag ceremony at what's the stadium now? Tesla Balogun Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And then a public viewing that. And then the first game We had they invited members. I think people at one place. There was a huge crowd on a big street. So they went. I don't know what the MD of Guinness saw them, but he went full tilt at it. And I love what they did. I love when corporate organizations step up to the, you know. And so they rode that crest and won it. But since then, you know, we've kind of lost our way. We didn't qualify for the next two Nations Cups. Even as defending champions, Gennett Rock came in, and he stabled the ship. Because the first thing he said when I spoke to him was, when we were having dinner in a hotel, he says, you know what, he's coming to mend the dressing room. He's coming to bring harmony into this. And he did that. And like joke, even though we're placed in, because I want to be fair to him, we're placed to qualify for the World Cup, we're placed in an amazingly difficult group of Algeria, former African Cup of Nations winners, Zambia, former Cup of Nations winners, and our perennial rivals, Cameroon.
Uh-uh.
Yes, well, that was our qualification group for Russia 2018.
Mm.
And in fairness, we won that group. In fact, handily, I think with the game to spare. I actually, you know, when the gods want to favor you, they kind of arrange things. We managed, we played Zambia away from home in the first in our first game, and I was there I remember somewhere in Zambia where we watched the game at the stadium. It was brilliant, and we beat them 2-1, and that set us up on, because they could only start, the other teams could only start taking points off each other, and we qualified for the, and the expectations were high when the group with Croatia, Iceland and Argentina. Yes, Argentina and Croatia were favoured to go, but at the end of the day, things go, Argentina was so poor that year, we should have crossed the second round. Again, a rock and do it. So for me, then I think should have started.
But okay, well, that's enough of this historical perspective, because of course you needled me by saying something.
What did I say?
No, I won't say it again. I almost wanted to bring my gun to shoot you down. Now that's a joke. Now the question to ask then is that, okay, Raw is gone. I hope we are not owing him any money.
Aha, that's where I was getting to. You know, I referenced Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yes.
That's why I went into all the historical preamble. Yeah.
Mm.
That Ole Gunnar said, in the wisdom of the board, and I think the Manchester United board is run by lunatics. You know, it's said that when you employ clowns, what you get is a circus. Manchester United with all their money. Oh yeah, when you employ clowns, what you get is a circus. It's the worst run club in the world. Even worse run than NPFL Cup, but you can say they don't have money. But I'll come to that. But what? So I wanted Gunnar Ross sacked in 2018. It didn't happen. The NFF had patience with him. I said, okay, let's go to Egypt 2019 and see whether he could do better. In fairness, we got to the semi-finals. I feel we should have got at least the final. But along the way, the football we played was very uninspiring. And we ended up losing to the tiny island state of Madagascar along the way. We got to semi-finals, won the third place match. But I felt at that, because his football is too pragmatic, too turgid, you know, too slow, too lateral, playing football side to side, not enough fluidity or creativity. But what did the NFF do? I think sometime 2019 or maybe COVID 2020, they gave him a new contract, cut a long story short.
Okay, I need to take a break here. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll look at this. The other issue, of course, our lines will be open at that point, 0700-993-993-993, and then the alternative line 0146571190 for our female listeners. And when we come back, we'll take your calls, your reactions, and so on and so forth. And then we'll ask the crucial question: if Raw goes, who will inherit his position? A Nigerian? A foreigner? Are we going to tell Richard Branson to give us his galactic whatever to go and get somebody from Mars? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, brought to you by Amsel Malta. We'll be back. Yeah, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, brought to you by Amsel Malta. And I forgot to add, we're on YouTube and we're on Facebook Live. So if you want to be sure that is Agbede, who wants to remain anonymous, is the one I'm talking to, you have the proof right there. Now, Segun, so that we don't waste a whole 1 hour on history, what percentage of you, what percentage of your mind tells you that this gentleman might go? 60%, 70%, 80%?
To be honest,
100%?
70-80%, because 30%. I'm hearing sources from within the powers that be that
is there any strong politics going on in the NFF as we speak that could be rustling feathers?
There probably will be. You see, Nigerian institutions in general are rather opaque. In Port Harcourt, forgive me if I digress, there was a time I bought, I served in Port Harcourt, and there was a time I bought a pair of trousers from my one market. Anybody that's been to probably know my one market. Buyers, caveat emptor. And I put those trousers on, and they were my size. By the time I got home, they were ankle length.
What happened?
I don't know. They call it a syndrome. The more you look, less you see. So I can't really say. I'm on the outside looking. Yes, I have my sources, I have people I talk to at the highest level. But nobody's really to go on record. And you can't really understand. Like, as I was trying to explain, Gennaro was given a new contract, even when they knew. The question is, why did you give him that? So you ask a question when we're going to the break. It's going to cost them a hell of a lot of money to get out of that contract.
Okay. So let's take it one by one. Must our coach be a foreign coach?
No.
Is there any Nigerian in the horizon? Whatever happened to this man who was suspended one time? What's his name? Samson Siasa. Whatever happened to him?
He's still serving his FIFA ban. And Samson's my friend. He's my guy. I've known him from since his playing days. The truth of the matter, Samson has had his chance at the Super Eagles. And he couldn't qualify us for the 2017 Nations Cup anyway. And then apart from that, he's tainted because of his issues with FIFA.
Yes, with FIFA.
Tainted. I don't think he's going to.
Who? Any Nigerian you think we met?
Off the cuff, I'd say Emmanuel Amunike. Off the cuff, you know.
Oh, okay.
He's been around. He's got. Was a hugely successful.
Does he have world class experience?
Well, he played for Barcelona, played for Zamalek, was hugely successful, won the Nations Cup, was with the Eagle, played a pivotal role for qualifying from the World Cup in 94 and getting through to the second round. So, and yes, he's a member of the FIFA's technical crew. So he's someone that knows his onions, you know.
He's a member of FIFA's technical crew.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay, on the international front, are we looking at Arsene Wenger or anybody like that?
Rumors. Anything I say here cannot be backed up by facts.
You know,
rumors are that they're looking. But the key issue is, how do they get for, like, Ole Gennaro will never resign. Why should he resign? He has a contract. If you want me to go, pay me off. You understand?
Pay me off. We pay him off, what kind of bill do you think we'll be getting?
I don't know the figures, to be honest with you.
But
a lot. That's why they haven't sacked him out of hand already. A lot.
But there've always been this thing, the politics of recruitment of the coaches, them being owed allowances, house not ready when it should be. Various issues always crop up. Have they been rectified? I had thought that this current NFF chairman would stabilize things like that, but apparently it appears to a large extent to be business as usual.
Well, how do I put it? And I'm going to be very careful what I say now. Amaju Pinnick, the president of the NFL, he's a friend of mine. The vice president.
How come everybody is your friend?
Edmond, I've been around.
Like before we met someone named, he's a friend of mine. Next thing you tell me that Wemimo is a friend of yours. Is Wemimo your friend?
Wemimo is somebody I appreciate a lot. I appreciate her work.
She's married.
I know she's married. That's why I did say I like her. I said I appreciate her work. I do like her. She's she has a great sense of humor.
Okay, so you believe Amaju Philip has Amaju Pinnick has been doing okay as NFF chairman?
Yeah, I think he has.
Given the circumstances.
But I think he's made one or two mistakes. I think a mistake he's made was giving Gennaro a new contract.
That's a big one.
Maybe even hiring Gennaro in the first place, because
who have hired then?
Some better, eh? Somebody that has. So, you know, Gennaro, before he came to Nigeria, I think Coach Gennaro. Gennaro before he came to Nigeria. Coach Burkina Faso, so sorry. And Nigeria.
Oh, no, we need somebody with better friends. Is it that we can't have the top coaches?
It could be a matter of funding. As I said, there's information I'm not privy to. But the truth of the matter is now is that we're caught between the rock,
the proverbial rock, and
the hard place. Because I honestly believe, as I said, this is not personal. I love Gennaro to bits. He's a lovely man, great guy.
He's a friend.
He's a friend. Although when he listens to my interviews, I don't think he'll feel very lovey-dovey towards me, but he's a great guy. I honestly don't believe that if we keep Gennaro in place, that will win AFCON. But more importantly, I do not think with Cameroon in place that, you know, to qualify for the World Cup, we qualified from the group stage, but we now have one final hurdle where we have a home and away game against one of the 10, only 5 countries are going from Africa. So there are 10 countries left. So we're going to play one of 5.
Well, how come it is that, to be honest with you, I've not been excited about the Nigerian team since 94.
The truth of
the matter. The Amokachis, the
Amunikes.
God bless. The Uche Kuchukus. Whoever he is. There's one name you've forgotten. Yekini!
Rashid Yekini.
Rashid Yekini.
You know, I was with Fridaypo in Borneo over the weekend.
Yeah.
At an event. And he was describing, you know, he played with Yekini along the line. And he said Yekini used to tell him. He would tell him Yoruba. It was Friday. He's from Akwa Ibom. But he speaks very good Yoruba. He's a Lagos boy. He'll say, he'll tell you where to pass. Pay Bufumi on the run.
Bufumi.
Don't. Where you get the ball, just put so. Because Yekini was never a dribbler. But once he could get onto that ball, he will use his pace to beat the first defender. And after that, shot.
And of course, JJ Okocha.
Oh, yes,
that is always my man. He's a first class entertainer. Our lines are buzzing. Let's pick this one. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
My name is still Chief Darlington.
Is Chief Darlington your friend?
Chief Darlington is my very good friend. Chief, what up? How you doing? How you doing?
You remember that day in St. Petersburg? At St. Petersburg.
Guy, we did together. We did together, my guy. Day.
What are you guys now doing?
We're talking about the game in St. Petersburg. We just needed a draw, and Ghana couldn't get it for us.
We played that game. We had a coach who had nothing to offer.
Wow.
In fact, his inexperience and inability to compete with modern soccer was exposed that day. I was in tears. I traveled all night from Moscow to St. Petersburg. Only to be disgraced at that stadium where we needed just a draw. The boys tried, and then they got to that point when we got that penalty and we got the draw. It was just for this man to park the bus and throw the Argentines under the bus, if I have to borrow from the words of Jimmy Dixon. over time, you know, the most painful thing to me, the most disheartening thing to me is that this man has been a minus to the development of Nigerian football. In his last contract conditionalities that were put there by the NFF, there's none, by my own reckoning, that has helped the development of local football in this country. After his first contract, when he was to come again in his second coming, we shouted. We said, no, but if he must come, let him be a part of the grassroots development, at least our national league. Genetrol does not live in this country. Genetrol receives more than the president of this country and the vice president. Aside from those in the National Assembly, I don't know how to equate what they both receive. But to me, if we continue with Genetrol, Nigerian football will be dying. Let me shock you. We play Central African Republic at the stadium. What's the stadium there? Opposite the National Stadium.
Teslim Balogun.
Do you know that a player was to take a corner kick? He left that corner kick, that football on the flank, and was arranging his fellow players, his colleagues. That's the man who plays for Leicester, senior man. He left the ball. I was ashamed. It meant that the coach had not done nothing during training to tell them this is what you are supposed to position yourself. Go through that video again, and you'll be ashamed being a Nigerian supporter. We must not continue this way. Genetrol must go. I have always shouted it. If Genetrol, if you don't build the National League, Westerhof was a part of the National League. That was why it succeeded. Westerhof exported a lot of local players to Belgium. And that was why he got the materials. Please, if we want a local coach, we have a Finidi George, we have an Amuneke, let them come and combine and help build our national team. We need somebody who will help to build the future of this team. We don't have a future. in terms of football in this country today. Look at our last game. We were struggling.
Okay, Chief. Thank you very much. That also brings to the question of, we don't even have, I remember growing up, there was ECN, there was Stars, there was Shooting, yeah. The Shooting Stars. Where are all those clubs now?
Very good question, Edmond. Funny enough, the Nigerian League, we still spoke about it on my program this morning.
Yes.
It hasn't started.
In
November, and it was supposed to have started
yesterday,
but nothing has happened, you know. And it's a disgrace. Uh-huh. I was a bit critical, you know, the CAF introduced the Women's Champions League this year.
Mm-hmm.
And our representatives were the Rivers Angels, a team that was a club that was founded in 1986, way before other teams on the African continent. And we went before, we lost two games and could win only one. So obviously couldn't go through to the semi-final stage, and which was embarrassing itself. As usual, there were also the issues of logistics, because we got there on a Friday and our first game on a Saturday. The girls couldn't even train. So they lost that game on Saturday 3-0, and then they now had to train on Sunday, and they still lost their next game. But the point I'm trying to make is, at that time, I even thought their league was up and running. It wasn't. So how do you expect them to perform? Our clubs on the continent, that's the MPF, the men's teams on the continent, they can't perform because there's no competitive football. The league still hasn't started. AFCON is starting next month in January. Oh, sorry, in 2 months' time, January 11th or something. And Chief made a very good point. One of Genevieve's biggest failings for me and my biggest disappointment was he never gave the local players a look in.
Well, could that have been his fault or those who hired him and put him in a position where he could have done that? We don't have proof. We don't have proof. I mean, this is a foreigner. He must be shown where to go. He must be shown what to watch. We don't have proof that that was done.
Good point. Good point that maybe it wasn't enforceable.
Maybe it wasn't enforceable.
But it should have been.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Ghana has a viable league.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was in Ghana once and Ashanti Kotoko and I don't know what it was. And everywhere was buzzing. It was alive. Yeah. Do we still? Who are the clubs that we have now? I'm sorry to say this. I know that MFM has a club somewhere.
Yeah, MFM has, it represents the Lagos team.
Do we still have Julius Berger?
No, FC? Those teams have gone long gone.
They're long gone.
Shooting Stars is coming up from the NNL to the first to the Premier League again.
Do we have a league?
We have a league. We have the Nigerian
games are played.
The Premier Football League, yes, but it's not running now.
She won from water pool. Do you have pool where you say this one versus this one they draw? Talking about pool, you know when I was young, when we were all young way back then, I remember the papas in the area, they would tell you, hey, this is help me count the number of heads you find here. And they use it to determine. It was later in life when I had TV and so on that we all realized that these were real games that were being played.
Mm.
Do we have first division, second division, third division in Nigeria as of today?
Yeah, well, we have the MPFL, we have the NNL. And I think we have the NNO. That's the third tier.
So you can see that part of the problem is that we don't have ready-made materials at hand. We now have to rely on bring this one in from Belgium, this one in from Portugal, and bring them in for 1 week, put them together, go play. No country can develop like that.
Mm.
You know, no country can develop like that. Okay, of all the choices that we have now, who are we looking at in the horizon? Who would you suggest? Give me about three names you can look forward to. The man you coach is looking for a job. Should we take him?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer cannot coach an MPFL side. Okay. You know, he doesn't... You see, you know the funny thing with Ole is... Kouishikpe is not a cause.
Mm.
But Ole Gunnar Kolerishem can't get a job again.
His days are gone.
You know, what's going on in Man United is almost African. You understand? When somebody who doesn't know what he's doing gets a job and still doesn't want to leave. He was there... He was never going to resign. Even people were saying, when Watford thrashed us on Saturday, was it whenever? He was clapping the fans and people said he was really sick. No, if the board had left it there, he would have taken United. Well, it would have taken us to relegation.
Hello.
Sorry, this call has been persistent.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. Very quickly.
My name is Lowo.
Yes, morning, Mr. Lowo. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Good.
Well done, Uncle Shagun.
Morning, dear. How are you?
It's easy to blame Gennard Royal. Fine. Where is the structure on ground that we want to work on? We want Gennaro to develop Nigerian football. The league is not even starting. We make it, see, let's be sincere with ourselves. What is working down here? We're just looking for somebody to nail. The boys had parties. The man, we learned the, a day, a night before the game, they had parties, of party overnight, last match. The man didn't want to use them. They insisted he must use them. Things don't work that way. We need to be realistic with ourselves. Let's put the home base. It is these same Nigerians that will nail the home base. Are we not in this country when West Ham was a coach, was a manager? How many times did the press call for West Ham to be sacked? Today we are celebrating him. In general, we go. We will see where what will we do with it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well done, sir.
Yeah, can we bring back Bronfrey Joe?
I don't know.
And is he available?
I don't know. And Bronfrey Joe did quite well. He won us the first Olympics.
Yes.
And he came within a penalty, which went in, of winning the 2000 Nations Cup. You know, I hear what Lawa says, and I always love, you see, I have an argument which says we can be having a discussion and have different points of views. It doesn't mean that both of us are not making points. Lawa made a good point there. I did hear about that story about the players' party.
The head party.
Which is bang out of order, total indiscipline. And I did hear the part that General wanted to drop said players, and it was overruled. But for me, it's part of the malice that has existed. Because who calls up these players? It's General. Some of these players believe that they're fixture, they're furniture in the national squad. So complacency has set in. So at the end of the day, you send him away and get something else. And no, let me correct one. It's good for the narrative now. The league is not running. But when the league was running, when players were performing wicked, well, did he select it? He did not now.
So if we look at what you and Lowo has, I don't know if Lowo is an honorable Lowo or a chief Lowo has said, our problem is systematic. You know, so we cannot totally blame the coach. If you brought the Liverpool coach here, we'd get the same results.
Well, to a certain extent, I always say about sports, it's something I said on several different places. And when the government allows us to have access to Twitter, I'll say it again.
We have access to Twitter, but that's another story.
I don't have access to Twitter.
You don't.
And anybody that has, and I know, I report them to the authorities.
Don't look at me. I'm a British citizen.
I don't care. Okay. I report anybody that I know that is
Twitter. Bridget Golemi.
Whatever.
Bridget Golemi. I think I'll tell you.
Yes, sir. So, my mom, you're taller.
It's a lie. Bridget Golemi.
You can't divorce, you know, if all the institutions are weak, you can't expect sports to be doing better than...
Should we just call it in, have a Nigerian coach, shut down for 4 to 5 years, develop something Nigerian, and begin to grow all over again, rather than struggling? You know, you can't swim, you're caught in the water keeps getting rough. Instead of you to go back into the boat, let them tow you back to land, you still want to keep struggling. Should we just pack it in, lock ourselves down for about 4 years? This is from 1994, this is 2000 and... how many years is that, Philip? If you ask this Igbobia now, you won't know.
1994
to 2021. That's also at Igbobi College. You see?
That's 37
you
years.
You see?
37 years.
37
yes.
years.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Up I see.
Well, which up I see?
NBA, rotting up.
It's not an NBA issue. It's that, you know why I don't like Igbobi.
I know why you don't
it's
like
it. It's a jealousy matter.
I know. Bad belly.
But I need to take two more calls and then we'll probably be out of here. Hello, good morning.
good morning.
Solomon, for God's sake.
Well, long time.
How are you? How are the twins?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Mr. Shegun.
Morning, Mr. Solomon.
I completely disagree with you and one of my friends, Mr. Darlington.
Okay.
And Troy is not our problem.
Yeah.
Look, you are giving him job. Allow him to do his job. Now, example is what the last caller just said now. A day before a match, some of these players went to party and a coach want to drop them. And that the power that be did not allow. That means Gedetro himself does not have that free mind to do his job.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. So what are we talking about? Look, go and bring Guardiola to Nigerian football. Nothing will happen.
Even Guardiola.
The Man City coach.
Oh, okay.
Former Barcelona coach before.
Is it the best coach we have now?
For me.
Is it better than the Liverpool coach?
I beg you. Don't let us go
That Liverpool team. Well, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but that Liverpool
Jimmy,
team.
Don't let us go that area. Let's discuss Nigerian football. So for me, even giving me that job alone to come and coach the Eagles of Nigeria, I can't do it. You know why? We always put all our blame on coaches. Look at what Keshi did to Nigeria. Mm. At the end of the day, you fire him. You said he will have one African Guardiola from somewhere. You even brought that one. That one is a complete failure. So the same, look, Uncle Jimmy, any coach that they are bringing now that cannot win Nations Cup for Nigeria and you cannot qualify us for World Cup, there's no difference between that coach and Kenneth Rowe.
Solomon.
Yes.
Solomon.
Sir.
Solomon.
Sir.
Alelo Kurubeni.
But I'd like to say one thing.
Yes, we have just 2 minutes.
Louis and Solomon just said, that's what about it. It is them saying no.
Yeah.
It is alleged. I don't have any. I've heard it in different quarters. It does not mean it is true.
Yes.
But about the party and about being overruled, you understand?
Mm.
It is a possibility. It's not a fact. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just want to put that out there.
Okay. Let me just take one last caller, very briefly, 1 minute. Hello, quickly, 1 minute.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
You see, we have a big problem in this country.
Yes.
Somebody will start a journey.
Yes.
On getting to that journey, you sack him. The same thing happened in 2002 Japan-Korea World Cup. Stephen Keshi and Ahmadu Shuaibu of the blessed memory had qualified Nigeria to go to the World Cup. You guys in the media shouted, they sacked these two young men. May their soul rest in peace.
Yeah,
Oli Binde was brought in on the eve of a World Cup. What magic is he going to do? The same thing you guys are bringing up now. Kenneth Rowe has qualified Nigeria for Africa Cup of Nations. We are getting ready for the World Cup. You want to sack him and bring who? If you go beyond the Stephen Keshi and the other guy I mentioned. One guy from Serbia or somewhere, you brought him again.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Ladipo. All said and done. Final
answer? I'd just like to respond to that.
Very quickly. You have less than a minute.
Yeah, very quickly. That was then, this is now. And
okay.
From the situations are revealed. We're getting rid of an Oyibo man. And I love what you said. Fididi George and Emmanuel Muneke.
Okay, Segun, thank you very much, Segun Agbede. As usual, as always, it's not as if I like you that much, considering what I have, the grudge I have against the Bobby College, which will go into the grave with me, for not, after all the while I did to pass English, you people failed me.
Because we were maths.
A lot of people also kicked my ass out of the place. Thank you very much, Segun Agbede.
My pleasure.
So we'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Dear Bumi, as usual. And Dear Bumi tomorrow has the return of the Stallion. The Stallion has been raring to go. Uncle Jimmy. And you know, when the Stallion talks to me, she's always like bouncing. You know, she's going to be here tomorrow. Adeola Bankole is going to be here tomorrow at 9. We're going to have a rollicking time. Once again, my condolence goes to my brother, Kehinde Bangbeton. You know, may the soul of his wife rest in peace. And to the rest of Nigeria, for Baba Sue, who also died. And you know the circumstances of his last years on earth. What all this teaches us is that everything we're doing in this world is a passing phase. And therefore, once we know that, that should guide our behavior towards our fellow Nigerians and other people in the world. Thank you one more time, General Gwede. Thank you very much, Wemimo. Thank you and God bless. Any minute from now, Teke 2 will come in as usual, followed by Teke 1 struggling to come. Have you ever been to this studio? To go through that gate is like going through Kalakuta. So at the time when Teke 1 is upset, Teke 3 is struggling to get the gate released for him to come in. We'll be back again tomorrow. Like I said, we'll be back with the Stallion. And thank you, Nigerian Breweries, for the sponsorship, Amstel Malta. We'll be here again tomorrow. Bye.
Hey. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.